This is Mandy.
And this is Leanne.
And you're listening to Two Blonde Sleuths. All right, we have been on spring break and we're back for episode 10. And we had so much fun doing the campfire episodes and sometimes true crime, so much true crime and researching it and telling it, it can get kind of heavy. So we've decided that we're going to change it up, and I hope you like it. It's going to be one week I'm going to tell more, instead of a true crime, it's going to be like more of a mystery story. And then the next week, Leanne will tell a true crime story. And so we're just going to kind of break it up, you know, so it's not so heavy all the time. And tonight I'm going to tell the first mystery story that we have. Are you ready, Leanne?
I'm ready.
All right. So it's called The Curse of King Tut. All right. The Curse of the Pharaohs, or the Mummies, Curse of the Mummies. What the curse is whoever disturbs a resting place or tomb will have bad luck, illness, or death. That's what the curse has been said. So they say that maybe that, you know, that was, they said that, or they enforced that because they were trying to stop grave robbers and thieves in the Valley of the Kings, which were most of the pharaohs.
Because they were buried with like jewels and
gold
and all that stuff. So
yeah, and we'll get into that. We'll find out what all, you know, King Tut had buried. But that was what, you know, has said, but even before King Tut's tomb was discovered. So, and it's kind of divided between two people who believe that, you know, it's a real curse, or people who just believe that it's coincidences that these things happened and that it can be explained by science.
And those people are me.
Yes, those people are you, and you're the one that thinks it's all can be explained by science, and I'm the one who thinks that, you know, there really is curses and there really is all these mystical things out there, and that's just me. So, let's get into first who King Tutankhamun was. King Tut was the 12th pharaoh of the 18th Egyptian dynasty. He was said to rule between 1332 to 1323 BCE.
Okay, what is BCE? Is it going backwards? He ruled
backwards? Yes.
It's backwards?
Exactly what you asked. It is ruled backwards.
I know before Christ, but what is BCE?
But that is actually not right, because of course I had to Google it. I thought it was before Christ. And I wondered why it was backwards instead of forwards. But it's called BCE stands for Before Common Era.
Okay.
So it actually did go backwards.
Okay.
And because it was before Common Era, which is now we go forward.
So that it counted back, it counted down to zero to start over.
Yes.
For the Common Era.
Yes, which is now.
Never knew that.
Pretty cool. I mean, it's pretty interesting and cool. So anyway, King Tut was only 9 years old when he became king. And that's because, of course, his father passed away and he was the heir to the throne. He married his half-sister not long after becoming king.
Started early.
That's what, they like to keep the royal bloodline going, and that is something, when I found that out, I was pretty creeped out by that, but that's, and he was 9 when he got married, so that's another creepy thing. But that's what they like to do. I guess they thought he needed a wife.
I mean, even,
and it was half-sister.
In England, they do that.
Like, with, to keep the royal?
The royal family. Well, no, they don't do it now.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they don't
but
do that now.
But they did.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they don't do that now. But, so he married his half-sister not long after becoming the king. They had no surviving children, but had two daughters most likely stillborn, which I could imagine why that was the case.
Yeah.
Because,
I mean, it has, yeah.
It, I mean, you don't, they honestly, it was hard for them to have heirs that, that were healthy or that didn't die at birth because of the incest. It's just, it's really not supposed to happen,
it's
obviously.
Not right. It's just not right.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost to me, it's like God's way of telling us it's not right.
It's not right.
Yeah. So, and that was, he actually had a lot of medical problems too. King Tut did. Mm-hmm. And they, obviously, he was inbred as well, and they think that had probably a lot to do with it once they did the autopsies and everything. King Tut ruled until his death at the age of 19. In 1323 BCE.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He is thought to have died from gangrene. The infection is thought to have happened from a broken leg. And there was a lot of, when I did the research on it, they thought he was murdered. They thought, because he had something wrong with his head, but when they, like a blow to the head.
It's way cooler to go out being murdered as a king than it is to go out with a bum leg, but.
Yeah, and you know, I think there was people always after you back then because actually he had no heirs, which he didn't. The high priest would have become the ruler, and so you know they thought maybe that's what it is. But they have when they did an autopsy later on, years later, when they got new technology, they figured out that it wasn't that his head had some trauma from when they were mummifying him.
Mm-hmm.
They like knocked him in the head or something. So they think it was just from the gangrene and the infection in his leg. So he was buried 70 days later in a small tomb because his death was so sudden. The tomb was sealed and there was no known records of Tut after his death. It's like they just tried to erase him. The Egyptians did for some reason. I don't know.
And who took over after him? The high priest?
Yeah, that's what. Because he didn't have any heir. So that is what is thought to have happened.
Okay.
He did have a wife, but she, I think she tried to get married again, and then, actually, there was somebody she was going to marry, and he was on his journey there. He died on the way there, so I don't think she
dropped like flies back then. I mean, well, there were so many obstacles, and there was nothing to, like,
there was no
protect
medicine.
You. There was no medicine. There was, I mean, if you got sick on the road, that's just where you died.
Even though they were pretty advanced, which, you know.
And clean, but I learned that from your daughter.
As a result, he became unknown for centuries. The location of his tomb was lost. Then in 1922, British archaeologist Howard Carter found King Tut's tomb in the Valley of the Kings. So he had been searching for a while, and he finally finds it. So on
what
November,
year? Sorry.
1922.
Oh, okay.
So 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
On November 26, 1922, actually, Carter and his fellow archaeologist, George Hubert, entered the chambers of the tomb. They found that most of its contents and structures were all intact. There had been a little opening where some grave robbers had come in, but I think there wasn't much gone. They definitely had not disturbed his actual
tomb.
Yes, where he was buried, the coffin. They had not disturbed the coffin, but or opened it. But I think they may have taken a few things. But the opening was so small, they were saying they couldn't have gotten much.
Yeah,
because and we're talking about 3,000 years. So within 3,000 years, you know, it could have happened right after they took a few things and got on their camel and then rode off, you know. I mean, they said there was a lot of huge items too.
Yeah.
And they didn't get much. So it was mainly intact it was pretty amazing for 3,000 years. And it actually would be one of the most amazing discoveries.
What was it, like in a pyramid? Like,
no, it's the Valley of the Kings. They're basically in the ground, like in the sand.
And nothing's protecting over, I mean, like over them? That's
well, yeah, there's so much sand that has protected. And there's like dunes and things like that.
Yeah,
but
that's crazy, though.
There was actually like steps down to the tomb when they found it. Yeah.
Huh.
So, it was mostly intact, and it definitely was amazing and one of the, you know, biggest discoveries in archaeologist and Egyptian history, which is pretty cool. There was murals painted all on the walls of the tomb. And it told the story of King Tut's funeral and his journey to the afterworld. Various artifacts were found, including oils, perfumes, toys from his childhood, jewelry, which, like, beautiful, precious jewelry. Could you imagine?
Right. No.
Statues of gold and ebony. Over the next 17 years, Carter and his associates carefully excavated the four-room tomb. So there was four rooms, and they were saying this one was small compared to others because I think some tombs were way bigger, but this one wasn't huge, but it was so intact. I think that's what makes it so famous.
Yeah.
But it was four rooms.
And it was King Tut.
Yeah.
But whatever makes him so famous, I'm not even really sure. I'm guessing I don't know.
Well, I think what makes him so famous was, I'm sure, the curse that supposedly came of the after the opening of the tomb. That probably made it famous. And it was one of the most, you know, biggest finds in history.
Like, did I learn about King Tut?
Yeah, you probably did,
like for sure,
because it's one of the ones they really talk about when you learn about Egypt or Egypt history. My son was really into Egyptian and mummies, so I got really into this when he was little. We watched The Mummy about 15 times in a row, I think, with Brandon Fraser. Fraser.
Yeah.
But that was a great movie. Anyway, so it got me kind of interested in all this kind of Egyptian things. But so for 17 years. They evacuated. I mean, excavated it. What? I already said that. They uncovered priceless objects from antiquity. Of course, the most fascinating and later most controversial item was King Tut's mummy, his actual coffin. You know, It was a stone sarcophagus containing three coffins. So it was in three layers. Okay. So one inside the other, kind of like a, what do they call those? Norwegian doll?
It's a Russian.
Russian doll. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Okay. So one inside the other. And the final coffin, which he was in, was made of solid gold.
Oh.
And inside his mummy was revealed. It had been preserved for 3,000 years. Nobody had ever opened it. His mask, and that's probably one of the most famous things, too, is his mask that's just, you've seen everywhere, like on TV, like a picture of it or copy of it or whatever, on TV or in movies and things like that. It was just, it was made of more than 22 pounds of gold and gemstones just on the mask. I mean, it was just a beautiful work of art. And it was among the most famous works of art in history. It was actually a copy of a god, the god of the afterlife or something. So you wanted, it was not copied of his face.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was copied of.
That's how they did them.
Yeah. Of that, I guess that's why they kind of all look alike, if you think about it.
Pretty much like all, mainly the god of the afterlife,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
And he was the king, so I guess that's why his mask was real fancy.
Real jeweled out. Bejeweled.
Yeah. Blinged. Blinged.
Yeah.
Blinged out.
Could you imagine? Gosh, I can imagine.
Every day.
How beautiful it was. And it's, so, all right. So that's what they found, and that's how it went. But now on to the curse. Okay.
Ooh, yes,
so are
yes,
you ready?
Yes, let's get to the good stuff.
Okay.
I mean, not the king, because it's not good, but you know what I mean. Let's get to the scary stuff.
Okay. So soon after the discovery, a series of suspicious events occurred. Okay. Are you ready for the first one?
Like,
all right, starting with Carter's, which obviously Carter lived in Egypt for a long time.
He's the archaeologist.
He's the archaeologist that was the head archaeologist. Starting with Carter, his pet canary being eaten by a cobra snake. He had like his little beloved pet canary.
Oh, and weren't cobras like an Egyptian thing? Like,
exactly. Like the cobra is symbolic to the Egyptians.
Called? Yeah.
Yes. Okay. It's believed to be let loose in Carter's home as a symbol of how the king strikes his enemies.
Uh-oh.
But, you know, so this is supposedly
terrible
happened.
For the bird.
Yeah, I know. By a cobra. I was like, did he eat it? I guess he ate the bird.
What is it called when they... Oh, charm the snake. That's what Egyptians did. They charmed the snakes.
Yes. I mean, there was some symbolism to it, whatever. All right. So, and it was followed by the sudden death of Lord Carnarvon. He sponsored the 1922 team. Okay. So, he was...
what team? Oh, this is the archaeologist team.
Yes, the archaeologist team, Carter's team. He was bitten by a mosquito, and the bite somehow got infected while he was shaving his face, and he got blood poisoning, and it caused his death. And that wasn't too long.
That's super random.
Yeah, it wasn't too long after the discovery of the tomb, and Carnarvon's half-brother also died from blood poisoning 5 months after his brother. Which is odd. I mean, he wasn't even there.
Were they in Egypt?
Carnarvon's, did I say that right? He was. Yeah, but I don't think his brother was. I think that was just, a coincidence or a part of the curse. They were related. Because some of these things were people that just...
They take out your whole family.
Well, yeah, like, that's what it was, you know, it wasn't all people that were there.
Yeah.
It was people that were associated with people that were there.
Mm-hmm.
But Sir Archibald Douglas Reed... Did I say that right? Died in 1924 from a mysterious illness. He was the one who x-rayed the mummy. And all I read was a mysterious illness. But he was and it was like the next day he got sick. And then he died. Which, you know, they didn't have a lot of medicines or penicillin.
Yeah, people died
or anything,
a lot back
they
then.
They did. And that's why, you know. And then George J. Gold, an American financier and railroad executive, visited the tomb in 1923. And he fell ill almost immediately after. He died from pneumonia just a few months later. Like, he went in and visited the tomb, mm-hmm. and that's what, I guess after he got back to America, he died. And then Sir Bruce Ingram, a friend of archaeologist Howard Carter, who led the team, you know, Howard's the one that led the team, Bruce Ingram, the friend, this was so creeped me out, but Bruce accepted a gift from Carter made of a paperweight from a mummified hand, okay? This was his gift, like I gave you a gift. I mean, I guess he did a lot of excavating before King Tut, so this was not King Tut's hand.
Okay.
So, because, I mean, he wouldn't be giving that away because it was, you know, so sacred. And it was supposedly wearing a scarab bracelet that said, "Cursed be who moves my body. To him shall come fire, water, and pestilence. How do you say that?
Pestilence.
Pestilence, sorry. And so I did Google that, and that meant like a plague, something like that. Mm-hmm. That's what that means, because I wasn't sure. But anyway, so his house burned down, and when he rebuilt it, it was hit by a flood. and this
that
was
is
his,
a little...
That is weird. This was his friend, and like I said, it wasn't King Tut's hand, but it was... that's so weird.
It was given to him by somebody who visited King Tut's tomb.
No, well, yeah. It was given to him by Carter, who did... I mean, he probably unearthed... other mummies too,
yeah.
But they don't talk about that because a lot of them had been robbed, they had been ransacked. A lot of the ones in the Valley of the Kings, that's where they're all, most of them are buried,
right?
And so that's what he was excavating, because he was looking for King Tut, which he found him.
But I mean, how many people do you think actually had their hand in King Tut's excavation or any others, and how many died?
Yeah, I'll get to that. Sorry. We'll get to that. So, yeah, I know. And these are ones that I just found kind of interesting that were associated with them, you know, with the people that had something to do with it, or were the actual ones that were there. Because, you know, the financial backer, he was actually there with Carter, the one that died from the mosquito bite,
mm-hmm.
That got infected. He became sepsis or whatever, and that's how he died. But and that actually really did happen, so... That was just strange. But, like they said, there was no antibiotics. When you got a blood infection, you just died a lot of times your body didn't fight it. Okay, so that didn't belong to King Tut. So Hugh White, a British archaeologist, and he may have helped, they said, excavate it, hung himself in 1924, allegedly writing in his own blood, succumbed to a curse.
Oh, whatever. He's just trying to get attention.
I thought about that too.
I'm not falling for that crap.
Well, next, there was an American Egyptianologist, Aaron Amber, who was friends with many people at the opening of King Tut's tomb, but was not there himself, okay? Mm-hmm. Amber died in 1926 when his Baltimore house burned down. He, his wife, his son, and the maid all died. Apparently, there was plenty of time to escape, but he tried to save his manuscript, which I don't know why everybody else died, but he had been working on, the Book of the Dead. Which
and
is,
you know, all those houses were made from straight-up pine.
Well,
wood.
Pine. Oh, pine wood. Yes.
Like there's no brick.
Yeah.
They're all
so
wood.
They burn
so
really
when they
fast.
Burn, they burn fast.
Well, and the Book of the Dead, though, that's like one of the like sacred Egyptian books that was kind of interesting that was his manuscript for that book,
mm-hmm.
which he wasn't there, but he was friends with everybody that was there. Okay. So there was Richard Bethel, Lord Caveras, who I said earlier. Okay. His secretary and second person to enter the tomb, he died suspiciously in 1929, found smothered in his room at a gentleman's club in London.
No.
Yeah, I know.
Honey.
Okay, but a few months later, his father deliriously leaped to his death from his seventh floor apartment that had said to be filled with artifacts from the dig site.
Hmm.
So that's kind of creepy, right? It had all those, like, because I think
King Tut just got in their head.
Well, I had heard something I read that, okay, so, because you've got to, Carter had to have, like, he wasn't able to own all the things. I mean, this belongs to Egypt, right?
Right.
But that he had taken some things out and sold them on the black market, supposedly to help pay for his...
So what makes you think that the hand he gave that one dude was not part of King Tut? I mean, if he was pillaging...
Because King Tut's body is intact. Mummy has been in the museum in Cairo for years, so they would know. But I think he was, you know, going through lots of different ones. But he did take some things. The word on the street is that he took some things out.
Word on the street in Egypt.
Yeah, as he did sell, like, before the Egyptian, you know, authorities got there and were able to do everything.
He was, like, putting stuff in his pockets.
Were able to take inventory, yes. And he sold some things on black market to get his money back. For the dig, I mean, for these things. So maybe those were in that apartment if they were have said to it, or the guy jumped up from the seventh story building. So that was maybe so, but still kind of.
It is a big coincidence, though, for sure.
Yeah. So about 10 people died in 12 years after the tomb was discovered.
And then nobody else after that?
There was no, I mean, they eventually did, but within the 10 years.
Not under. Not under, like, weird circumstances.
No, I mean, there was about 25 people present at the time of the discovery, though. So 10 out of 25 in 12 years is a lot. And I don't, I mean...
But a couple of those were not at the dig.
A couple of those weren't. So, I read different things, though. I read 6 people. I read 10 people. I read 11 people, like, doing my research. So, I think what they're saying is around 10 out of the 25.
I mean, as much as I believe that all of that is coincidental, I wouldn't go into King Tut's tomb and mess with it. I mean, well, I'd be like, I mean, I don't really believe this is going to happen, but I wouldn't take my freaking chances.
And there were rumors, which to me this kind of made sense, of toxic mold or toxic gases that or were released when they opened the tomb. I mean, they've been in there for so long,
That probably wouldn't lead to somebody dying from blood poison.
Maybe not.
But maybe going crazy and jumping out your window.
Or having pneumonia. One of the guys, remember, he got pneumonia.
Yeah.
And I don't know. And it could have just all been a coincidence. I mean, they didn't have the medicine in 100 years ago that they have now. People did die.
It is a big coincidence. Like, some of those are.
Yeah. They didn't live long. And so that, you know, that the mold and the toxins and things like that has definitely been a theory that people have had, especially people that don't believe in the curse.
Mm-hmm.
But Carter, this was very interesting to me. Carter himself, the one that, you know, found King Tut, he lived a long life after the discovery, about 60 years. He died in 1982.
Why would King Tut not take him out?
Well, they said, I read somewhere, that because they wanted him, King Tut, the curse, wanted him to witness all these other people dying.
You think he really gave that much of the poo about all these people?
I think
people?
He lived a long time, so I think it was really strange, because imagine how many times he was in there. And there was a guy that guarded the tomb for 17 years, and he didn't die early either.
Well, if he was guarding it, he probably was being rewarded.
Well, he was guarding it while they were taking out everything.
Oh, I thought you didn't like
it. No. He was the guard that worked for Carter.
Oh, okay.
And they also said that Carter, like, put that rumor out there because he didn't want people coming. Because, I mean, this thing, it was opened up for, you know, while they were taking everything out for 17 years.
It was
they were open. And so
he had gone in and taken jewelry or anything.
So he didn't want people to come in. So he said it was a curse. That's what, you know,
maybe
was also
something.
Maybe he
started that.
Well, that's what... But the curse of the Ferris has been around a really long time. There was like a book written in the 1600s about it. So this is, you know, there has been some hieroglyphics that have, and I heard that there wasn't written at King Tut's tomb.
Yeah.
But there have been in other places. I mean, the rumor is you just don't mess with the dead, the Ferris especially.
And that's just a general rule I go by.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's, you know, but those were the two closest. And so I did find that interesting that it, you know, was this the curse or a coincidence? And I did read somewhere else, I have to put this out, that the bird, he actually, it didn't die from a cobra that he gave. I mean, because I read that so many places, but then one place, which who knows, you know, and it wasn't Wikipedia, Emma, but that I read that he just gave the bird away because he was working so much. So I was like, did it or did it not die?
Yeah, I mean, these stories could have been, you know, like built up and exaggerated. I mean, this is in what, 1920?
1922.
Yeah,
and then
so over the years, it could have been like his bird flew out the window. Like, that's what happened. This man said, no, he gave his bird away. And so I was like, no. A cobra was in his house.
A cobra came in.
It
does sound pretty far-fetched. But maybe not for Egypt.
Where did
he
live? Was he in Egypt?
Yes. So they definitely have cobras.
Why was his bird not up in a cage?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, a snake could get in the cage, though, probably.
It's hanging from this. I guess I think like Tweety Bird, like hanging in the cage.
But I was kind of like disappointed. I was kind of like, oh, that was made up. But all the other things were not made up. So, you know, who knows if the curse was real or not real.
Was there really a manuscript in that guy's house?
Yeah, I mean, he was really writing the Book of the Dead. I mean, he was writing a book on the Book of the Dead. So a manuscript on the Book of the Dead, which is... It was pretty interesting, and they talk about that a lot in the movie The Mummy that we used to watch all the time, me and Jake. But, and so, until recently, the thousands of objects found in the tomb were on display in the Cairo Museum, and the collection had actually been on tour for the last couple of years, which I wish I would have gone to one.
Travel around with it?
Yeah, they did, from like 2018 to 2021. But the home where they're finally going to reside is, there's a new museum near the Giza Pyramids, and that's where all the artifacts are.
I think we should go there.
Oh, my gosh. Like, I want to go there so bad. But that's my story. And that's the end of it. But maybe one day we can go to Egypt and we can go to the Cairo.
I am always so pretty impressed with the pyramids.
And the Giza pyramids? You know. Oh my gosh. I'm like so impressed with them. That's the coolest thing to me ever.
Well, I'm not going to anything that's cursed, I can tell you that.
Well, we could just go into and look at the objects in the museum.
As skeptical as I am, I'm not touching it.
We don't have to go in the tomb or anything like that. But wouldn't that be so cool to see all the murals and all the things they painted that survived 3,000 years? Like, how is that even possible that the ink is still there, that it didn't fade?
I don't know. Maybe sand is like the way to go.
Preserving.
Yeah, you shouldn't do soil and grass over a grave. You should do sand.
Yeah, maybe so.
I don't know.
And it's the weather and everything. But anyway, thank you so much for listening to Two Blondes Loose.
We'll be back next week with another story.
And it'll be a true crime story.
Yes, a true crime story, yes. Oh, and don't forget to send us any stories that you might have, because we had so much fun doing our campfire stories. So we need some of those, and I know they're out there. So email us at twoblondesleuth@gmail.com. And don't forget to go and like us and review us.
And
on Instagram, Facebook, all that.
And subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, where you get your podcasts.
Yes. We'll be back next week.